Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Absolutely thrilled to bring to you a very special guest. We have Wall Matthews of the Entourage Music and Theater Ensemble beaming in. Hey, Wall, are you there?
I am here.
Beautiful. This radio magic is working. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing really great. Thrilled to have you on the show today. And where are you beaming in from?
I'm beaming in from Columbia, Maryland, halfway between Baltimore and Washington, D.C.
Nice. Well, it's good to have you here.
It's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
So, very recently, there was a collection that came out, the Entourage Music and Theater Ensemble Ceremony of Dreams Studio Sessions and Outtakes 1972 to 1977. And that was released by Tompkins Square Records. Can you tell us about, first, let's zoom further back. Tell us about the origins of the Entourage Music and Theater Ensemble.
All right, well, Entourage started in Baltimore, Maryland, probably about 1970. It was the vision of a musician, composer named Joe Clark, who was a very fine bebop sax player, as well as a classically trained piano player. And he had this vision for combining musicians from different backgrounds, create kind of a weave of sound that would be unidentifiable by any particular genre because of the variety of the genres coming together. And he also, in the original incarnation of the group, had a street poet that would come up when the spirit moved him and freeform poetry while the group played. And we played long sets starting at about 1 o'clock in the morning at a after-hours club in Baltimore called the Blues Back Alley, and that's how the group began.
Unidentifiable genre. That's really my favorite genre. So you guys were hitting the sweet spot, at least for the ears of people who are excited and interested to hear something outside of the norm. And it seems that was this something that seemed outside of the norm at the time, or was this something that was kind of a natural occurrence and something that fit the spirit in the air for you guys?
I think it was the latter, in that we're coming out of the 60s, the late 60s, where borders had been exploded musically and people were looking at starting to combine different ideas from different worlds of music. So I think the spirit of experimentation was coming from there and beginning to broaden as the 70s began.
When the Entourage Music and Theater Ensemble was kind of in its full peak of existence and operations, can you tell us a bit about maybe a performance that springs to mind right now that just felt like there was magic in the air and it was all coming together in the right way? Can you kind of bring us into the space itself that you guys created?
Yes. I guess I would probably first look at, after that first incarnation of Entourage kind of fell apart because of economics being difficult for music like that, and the fact that Joe was commuting down from Millbrook, New York every weekend to do this. He was working at a college called Bennett College, where he was a composer for dance at the time. He reformed the group with what became sort of the core group of Joe and then Rusty Clark, who played viola and acoustic guitar. They were no relation. And Michael Smith, who was an extraordinary drummer and percussionist. And then I joined up with them with bringing in acoustic guitar and some keyboards and percussion. And we played the first time together in probably 1972 in Millbrook, working on some music that I had brought in. And it was just one of those moments where I call it kind of a white lightning moment, where everything just connected and kind of exploded into a very magical space with a lot of intuitive communication without much speaking. It just seemed to click. And it felt like, I think we felt like, oh, we found a home here.
Tell us a bit about the visual and theatrical elements of this. What kind of stagings were you putting into motion?
Well, in the group in its fullest form, we performed an hour and a half seamless presentation of music and modern dance with the four musicians and three choreographer dancer performers. And we had a kind of a weave, again, of combinations of solos, duets, full ensemble pieces, dance by itself, music by itself, in a lighting environment that was meant to reflect sort of a dream state, kind of environment, so that the music had so much flow to it, and the dance, and the lighting would help to enhance that and bring the audience into this kind of flowing dream state experience.
This is later than the kind of the happenings associated with, you know, the Summer of Love, or even, you know, even earlier there was with Rauschenberg and Cage and the kind of happenings that were going on. But it seems to very much kind of be in the lineage of an immersive environment, an environment that has a free flow to it, but also has these spirits and talents who were coming together to make it work in the right way. What kind of lineage did you feel like you were following a particular lineage, or were there some kind of guiding lights for you guys artistically and creatively that you felt helped pave the way for what you were accomplishing?
Well, I think the backgrounds of the musicians had very specific influences. Like I said, Joe came from being a really excellent bebop player. He had been in the Navy band with Wayne Shorter, and he had a strong affinity for the impressionist music of Debussy when he played keyboards. Rusty had a strong classical training and background, but he also had grown up in deep in the woods of Alabama and had quite a connection to country blues music. I came from a background of starting out in folk music and then quickly was influenced by British guitarist Bert Jansch and Pentangle. They kind of opened the door for me. I also had a big background in country blues. And then Smitty, again, was just an amazing jazz drummer who had a vision for just creating an incredible sound with a very small drum kit, but he was sort of the drummer of choice in the Washington, D.C. area for people like Mose Allison and Steve Kuhn when they came through town. So all of those influences were there individually, but I think what made it unique was that we really strove to try to remove, quote-unquote, the cliches of those music. So if we bent a note, it wasn't a blue note. It was something else that wouldn't necessarily say a specific style of music. And we tried to stay away from the identifiers of those backgrounds, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It absolutely does. And you guys successfully achieved that. You're in the Washington, D.C. vicinity. And so the connection with Folkways and Mo Ash, maybe he was close to you guys physically, but how did that connection how was that connection made with Moash? Because you released the Neptune collection in 76 and the self-titled Entourage Music and Theater Ensemble LP in 73. How did you guys connect with Folkways?
It was actually pretty simple. Joe approached Moash directly and ended up sending him a demo of some of the material, which ends up being on that first self-titled album. And Moses responded very positively and agreed to release the album and helped out by giving us an astounding budget of $100. And
That seems like par for the course in that world, but maybe what allowed that world to be so big and so many incredible records coming out through that. And this is music that, you know, should you have approached Warner Brothers or Capitol? I mean, maybe it's a tougher sell, but in that world of artistic music, this makes sense.
Yeah, I think ultimately we ended up being happy to be on a label that did have such a broad vision and included people from Woody Guthrie to John Cage. I mean, that kind of says it all, I think, right there.
Absolutely. And now, Ceremony of Dreams, Studio Sessions and Outtakes 1972 to 1977. And it's a three-disc collection out on Tompkins Square Recordings, a great record label. And continuing the story, telling the story of what Entourage accomplished and the lots of interesting sounds that hadn't previously been heard. We're actually going to take a little audio tour through some of the Entourage sound catalog, and this is a selection and a flow that Wal Matthews, my special guest here, has put together. Do you want to shine any light on this first batch of music?
Yes, I think it starts with the piece called Millbrook, I believe. Is
yes.
that right?
Yep.
And that actually is a captured live recording of that moment that I was telling you about.
Wow.
Bennett College had a decent theater recording system, and Joe was adept with using it. So it's a live recording of the group in that moment. And then I think the next few pieces that I suggested all come from the Around the Neptune collection era and are outtakes or unreleased pieces. One of the pieces called Snail, or the full title, The Two Snails Who Went to the Funeral of a Dead Leaf, was supposed to be on that Neptune collection record, but there was a bit of a disagreement in the mixing session on that, shall we say, between two of the performers, and it ended up not making the final cut. And I always felt that was tragic because it's such an incredible piece, and it has a moment that it features a duet in it of the viola and the soprano sax, which I always was astounded at the size of that sound that they created together. That section, the guitar does not play, and I just am sitting there while that's happening, then I come back in. So I included that, I believe, in this selection as well.
Yes, so these sounds bringing back to life and to light the Entourage Music and Theater Ensemble. If you'd like to travel further, entouragemusic.com is a good place to do that. Wal Matthews, my special guest here on Celsius Drop today on Dublab. We're going to hear a selection of music that Wal's put together. We'll get back and talk a bit more, then hear some more music. Do stay tuned. Let's get into the flow of magic music from the Entourage Music and Theater Ensemble. Here we go.
Thank you. Thank you.
Celsius Drop on Frosty, and just heard a selection of music assembled by Wal Matthews, one of the founding members of the Entourage Music and Theater Ensemble. Such a great, evocative selection of music. Thank you for putting that together, Wal.
My pleasure. Nice to play.
So again, the Ceremony of Dreams studio sessions and outtakes, 1972 to 1977, collection, triple CD, single LP, really phenomenal collection of work is available through Tompkins Square Records. You can visit tompkinssquare.com or visit entouragemusic.com to find out more information. And in fact, there have been some recent live performances of Entourage Music, and hoping for more, hoping that this continues. Are there things in the works?
There's a couple of radio shows that I think we're going to end up doing some live performances on in the end right now. So it's all kind of unexpected, and we're just following it as it comes up.
Well, we hope to have that come to reality, and that you'll keep traveling around the world. Because as they say, communication is the outer world's intersection with the inner world. And we need to keep those lines of communication open. Speaking of lines of communication, this is a group that really must have had almost a telepathic sense of communication together with very fine musicians. Sadly, your fellow fine musicians are not here. As you look back, you know, these are people that you formed quite a bond with, and it shows in the music. How do you kind of feel connected or channeled to them, and what do you hope to kind of bring to light in regards to the legacy of your fellow musicians from Entourage?
Well, I think having this collection come out of material, which I've been sitting on for a long time, and then the resulting reviews which we've been getting, which have been really gratifying to see. I mean, I feel like I owe a huge debt of thanks to Josh Rosenthal for picking up on this and putting it out, and seeing people write and talk about it today in a way that acknowledges what we felt was really unique in its time but didn't get the exposure that we hoped it would, really makes me feel good about the legacy of the music and the musicians moving on. Rusty Clark used to always say to me, "I don't care about making it with money and fame, man. I just want to make it like Stravinsky. I want my music to live." And in some ways, I'm thinking, well, maybe you got a shot here, Rusty.
Absolutely. That's the right way to live, is to live in music that really means something. And, you know, sometimes it's kind of a strange trick of fate that it seems that in the moment when you're doing something that is maybe more thoughtful or maybe even more fringe and something that is outside of the norm, it's a tough road at the moment, you know, to struggle and try to make a living with that kind of music. But I feel that, and I hope that, you know, that's the music that stands the test of time, because trends come and go, but real, true, creative music made by people who are passionate about what they do and are doing it for the right reasons will, even if it is not the biggest thing in the world, it's embraced in the most powerful way by individuals and makes such an impact, and really can inspire those people, the listeners, to do new creative things on their own. So this music is alive, it's well, and you're doing good by the legacy of your fellow musicians in Entourage. We're happy that you're doing it. We're going to pay homage by continuing some music. You've put together some more music for us here. And the first tune, can you tell us what's up first in the set of music?
Well, this is the track track Neptune Rising, which is from the Folkways album, the Neptune Collection. And this is the track that Karen Hebden, who is known as Fortet, sampled in 2004 on his recording that was entitled Round. And the track that he used it on was called She Moves She. And through a very ironic and unpredictable random way, we found out about it, which is a story to itself we don't have time to go into. But it ended up in me meeting Karen, and we worked out an agreement on how to move forward with the sample that he used, which is about a 30-second sample that he looped in from that track. And I think what you were saying before about music living on and having the ability to communicate over time, the fact that Karen responded to it really underscores that.
So absolutely.
That's the first track I put up here, yeah.
Wonderful. Well, he's someone who we all hold in such high regard and has just incredibly honed ears to hear music that is really rises above. So we're going to rise above with some Neptune Rising, and then we'll have some more music put together here by Wal Matthews of the Entourage Music and Theater Ensemble. Again, you can visit entouragemusic.com or cruise on over to tompkinssquare.com to pick up this collection, Ceremony of Dreams. Wal, thanks for being here, and thanks for putting this music into the world in the first place, and for continuing to kind of carry the torch for this and continue its further unfolding for all of us to enjoy.
Well, thank you for having me. I certainly appreciate the opportunity to have that music live. I can't thank you enough.
Here's some more Entourage Music and Theater Ensemble for you right here, right now on dublab.com. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.